If you came to hear a good sermon, in spite who delivers it, anything from the Word is still a good sermon. It might need help, but it's still a good sermon. So don't crucify the deliverer, the messenger. Second, Pastor Isaac has the excuse of not being here, so he's absent. Mike, I don't know where he's hiding these days. The previous two speakers, they disappeared today, so the crowd must have been really hard on them. I'd like to thank everybody for coming to the hayride yesterday. If you had a little bit of fun, do you say amen? Okay, nobody had fun. No, we had a pretty good time. I'll say thanks to Anthony and Jordan for all the work they did for getting that set up. You can tell you're getting older when you just lack the energy to come up with ideas and do something like that. And I crested the hill, and it would be easier for me to say, let's just skip it. It's just too much work. And Anthony sees that as an opportunity to clean the barn up every year or two, so there's a blessing out of that. Okay. 2 points, see if you can test your memories here from the last couple weeks. Our Bible verse that we're studying is what? Romans 8:28. Can somebody quote that for us? If you have that, just read it out together. Romans 8:28. That all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. So before that, we covered, we know that the things work good together for good to them that love God. That was a key to them that love God. And today we're going to be covering who are called according to his purpose. So with that, we're going to open up in prayer. And, there was a second thing I wanted to bring up. What was the story Isaac told when he was introduced in this passage? A little humor thing. About a preacher? Right, they were out deer hunting. Oh, so we had one person listening to the sermon. Yes, they all shot at the same time, and the preacher got it because it went in one ear and out the other. And it's just funny, these deer stories keep coming up. When Isaac, Mike, and I were together talking about doing this series, we were talking about deer hunting, and we were sort of, once you start talking about things, men are... pretty good at this, we start stretching the truth a little bit. So we're telling each other how good of a shot we are. You know, we can hit anything that we aim at. And so they said, okay, why don't we go out deer hunting one time? So when deer season came around, the three of us went out, and we're going to a wooded area, and we're standing there talking where we're going to have ourselves posted in the wooded area. And when you stand next to a preacher, there's something that brings out truth a little bit. I was thinking back, well, maybe I wasn't representing myself really good, that I'm a really accurate shot. So I was the first one to confess. So I said to Pastor Isaac and Mike, I said, you know, I'm not really that accurate. You know, my nerves are shot. I mean, I'm shaking more than I am up here right now, you know, when I hold a gun in my hand. And I can't hit the broadside of a barn for my life. And to prove that, I was out groundhog hunting one time at the farm, and there were four groundhogs out in the alfalfa field, and I started shooting at them. Three went back in the hole. The fourth one just stayed there, and after six shots, I heard this. Went to the hole and called the other three back out. He said, nothing to worry about, it's only Tom. (Laughter) When Mike, he was thinking over here, he said, well, I got to confess too. He said, I'm not really a sharpshooter, I'm a trick shooter. And I said, well, what's the difference of that? He said, well, a sharpshooter, you're going to hit what you're aiming for, but a trick shooter. And he said, I can take this. I was wondering why he had so many guns on him. He had a rifle and he had a holster with two pistols in. And he said, I can take these pistols, throw them way up in the air, take my rifle, I can empty the chamber out on that, catch the pistols and empty them out simultaneously. And I thought that's pretty impressive. You know, even if you're not trying to hit anything, just try to catch the pistols in midair. So, and when you confess enough to a pastor, it brings his shortcomings out too. And Isaac looked at the two of us and he said, well, I have a confession to make too. He said, I'm not really a sharpshooter myself. He said, I do have a little bit of a, I don't know what you would call it, a little quirk. He said, when I get excited and I start shooting at something, he says, I love to preach. He'll just start preaching. Well, when we were standing there talking about this, at the edge of the woods, came out this huge monster buck. I mean, the biggest one that we ever seen. And he came out in the clearing a little bit, and I was whispering to the guys, please, 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 let me have the first shot. So I started shooting away at this thing, and I stopped when I was out of ammunition. I stopped, and I could see this thing sort of laughing. Did you ever hear a deer laugh? How many in here ever heard a deer snort? But this guy was laughing. I saw a smile on his face. He was actually laughing. And Mike said, oh, I want to get him. Let me have a second shot. So Mike's over here. I'm watching this. He gets his vest off, and he goes, throws his two revolvers up in the air, grabs his rifle. He's like, boom, 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 boom. That's all. Catches the revolvers, and he's shooting at them. And I wouldn't have believed it if I wouldn't have seen it, but I heard the deer speak. He said, you got to be kidding. But we did notice to the right of him, there were four trees there and had Mike's name spelled out with all the bullets he was shooting. And Mike, he was out of ammunition, so Isaac said, I got to take a crack at this. So Isaac, he brought his aim up real close, left one fly, and he said, this is the genealogy of Christ. And he starts going down through the whole list of the generations of Christ. And he saw the deer yawn. And he thought, well, repent before you meet your maker. It lets him have it again. That didn't do anything. Isaac was desperate, so he's going to go to the prosperity gospel. If you see it, claim it. I want that buck. And he keeps shooting away, and nothing happened. And again, the deer yawned at him. Hey! We turn around, the game warden was standing behind us. What do you guys think you're doing here? He said, sounds like World War III. And we said, well, hey, did you see that monster buck that's standing over there? That's the biggest thing we've ever seen in our life. The game warden said, you mean the one that's laying down there? We turn around, and to our amazement, that thing was laying on the ground. Which one of us shot it? So the game warden looked at our rifles. He said, I can tell you pretty quick who got this one. So he went to check the deer out. Upon examining it, he couldn't find no bullet holes. Flipped the deer back and forth, no injury. But he yelled back to us. He said, well, I can tell you who got it. He said it was Pastor Isaac. And Mike and I started to protest because we thought this would look pretty nice on our wall. You know, that, you know, I really give Larry, Norman, and Steve and all these guys in my family a hard time about shooting deer. They're vegetarians. And this will look good for my trophy room. And the game warden said, nope. He said, this one belongs to Pastor Isaac. And we said, well, how can you tell that? He said, with all that preaching to put him to sleep. So today, I hope with that extra hour of sleep you got, this won't happen this morning. Put you guys to sleep. And by the clock, somebody didn't turn it back, they turned it ahead. So we will have church until 1 o'clock. With that, we'll open up a prayer, and then we'll get into these 2 points of those that are called and for his purpose today. Lord, we thank you for this time that we can gather together in your name to say thank you for your salvation. Lord, we thank you for this promise that you've given here in Romans 8:28, that you do care for us. You do have a plan. You have eternal plan. There are a lot of things we can explain. There are a lot of, as we go through these passages, there are a lot of events in life that happen that causes us to question, why are you doing this at this time? And so, Lord, we just ask for your guidance through your scripture. Most of all, Lord, I just pray for that your Holy Spirit would be in the service today and just speak through me and not anything of my wisdom, but that it's your truth from your word. And Lord, for each one that's here today, you know where we are in our spiritual walk. We just pray for decisions. Just help us in our life to be drawn closer to you. And just help us to grow as we look at the purpose that you have for our lives, that we would be obedient to your will in accomplishing your purpose here. And we say that with thanksgiving and give you the glory for it. In your name we pray, amen. When Daniel spoke here before, I noticed Isaac and Daniel, they drink water up here. And when we were praying in the back, I said, you know, a professional speaker does not need water. You cannot believe how dry your mouth gets when you stand in this spot. Okay, the effectual calling. This verse here, the promise from God, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. This verse is speaking to believers. It's a promise for them because of one word that was done by Mike last week, and I was speaking about the love. Can man, on his own merit, love God without any salvation? He's a sinful creature. It's not in him to do that. This verse is meant for all the people that have accepted the Lord as their personal Savior, that are called. Have you been called? The distinction about calling, when you come to salvation, you are called of God. That's an outward call. It's a twofold purpose here. The outward call is nothing else but God's blessed tender of grace of the gospel. With sinners, he invites them to come in and accept his mercy. Many are called and a few are chosen, according to Matthew chapter 20, verse 16. The external call is insufficient to salvation, yet is sufficient to leave them without excuse. Let me read that again. The external call, when the Holy Spirit, when God is calling you for salvation, that in itself is not salvation. There are a lot of people that hear invitations and think they're saved, and they hear the call and they think that's where it's at. So the external call is insufficient to salvation, yet sufficient to leave men without excuse. There's an inward call when God wonderfully overpowers the heart and draws the will to embrace Christ. How many in here have had your heart opened up to what God has for you? The outward call will bring men to profession of Christ, and the inward call will bring them to possession. Profession and possession, two different things. When a man comes to Christ, what's his condition of his life? The scriptures are very clear that it makes us understand that we're our works. We cannot do anything to earn anything of God's favor or merit. Anything we do is as filthy rags. How does God call us? One of the reasons, one of the ways that God can call us is by his word. by the word, hearing the word, you come to the Lord by hearing what? The word. And his word is the rod of his strength in Psalm 105. The voice of the word is God's call to us. And by his spirit, there's an indwelling, when the spirit is at work, if you have been born again, these are the procedures that have taken place. You have had the call. You had the stirring of the Holy Spirit in your heart to open up your heart. And the Spirit, you feel something inside of you that you know there's a void in your life. We try to fill that void with many things. We try the world system of fulfilling that void, and that can go from anywhere from the fame, fortune, riches. You can have anything in there to fill that void. Even the people that have all that, they still seek out something that's missing from their life. And one of the best things Satan will use is everything's candy coated. So everything that we look at that the world has to offer, it looks very enticing. Oh, we should try this. We should try that. We go through the heartbreaks, the heartaches, and we find out it's a dead end. And the scripture, you talk to people about the scripture, about salvation, and they think, oh, that means you have to abide by a whole bunch of rules, you have to live a perfect life, and nothing could be further than the truth. I think that's a lie right from Satan himself to try to discourage everybody that hears the word. And when the Spirit is working in their life, he's trying to put all these excuses in front of them saying, you cannot do this, so don't even try. But yet we'll try everything else in the world that the world has to offer to fill that void. But the Spirit is working in us. Sometimes it's by a loud call, and sometimes it's by a soft call. The Lord, if you hear a lot of testimonies, the Lord does not confine himself that you have an equation, A, B, C, this is how it's done. Salvation does start with the Son of God dying on the cross. But people coming to know the Lord, when you hear different testimonies that people have, you'll find all kinds of different avenues how you came to know the Lord. Just take a minute to think about. I'll even open it up this morning. Just examples. Who was saved in a church? Who was saved outside of a church? And by what means? Do you have any examples in here of your lives that you want to share? How God can work in different situations? Now I'll make you guys nervous. Yes.
I would say that in the parking lot of the LA church.
Okay. Okay, so we realized location. Anybody else? Yes?
My sister, when she moved away from home, she moved into a family that were Christians, and she came to know the Lord, and she came home to our home, and we all, through her, came to know the Lord. Her example.
Yes. Okay, so you can have different situations, you can have different events, you can have different locations, you can have different circumstances that take place, and again, as we look at God's purpose, if you would go out there and interview different people off the street, what do you think God's purpose, if you believe in a holy God, what do you think his purpose is here on this earth? If somebody would ask you that on the street, what would you answer? Right. He has created us to know him. And not all men know him. Many hear it, but few accept it. So he uses different circumstances to bring salvation to people, different circumstances. But the salvation process itself is still the same. It's still that person that needs to see that they're a sinner. It's still a person that sees that void in their life that nothing can fill it. And it's still necessary for forgiveness of the sins. Recognition of the sins won't cut it. It takes total forgiveness, asking forgiveness for the sins, and to ask the Lord into your heart that he may have dominance over your life, that he may be number one. Coming to know the Lord, we've seen it a couple times. If you were ever involved with leading people to Christ, you see that sometimes it's almost like raising children. Everybody that has children in here, they can be either compliant, they can be a little halfway, or they can be total stubborn. How many of us are stubborn? Oh, how many are stubborn? God comes, sometimes God needs to use wedges of the law to break our hearts, to show what sin is all about. And he will humble us to a point where we will accept his son, but it's by our will. We have a free choice here. He has the whole plan laid out in front of us. You can explain it to people. When we were down in Georgia, I had two fellows that I was working with, and we played Christian radio all the time, and it was a lot of Bible teaching, and you don't think they're listening, but they do. And the one day, I noticed the one brother, he was really being convicted of this one sermon. And I said to him, I said, the fight is hard, isn't it? And he said, you know, and he was in tears. He was dealing with a lot of things. And he said, but I can't do this. He said, I cannot live a good life. And I said, you won't. I said, we cannot do anything to earn the favor of God for our salvation. And it's there. And at lunch, we went through the scripture a little bit. And when you get excited about things, I thought, boy, the Holy Spirit is so convicting there. This just has to be. He has to accept the Lord. And that's a lesson sometimes we have to learn as people and witnessing to people, is our timing, we better watch how we handle our timing with God's timing. We think we're going to, everything is perfect, everything is aligned. All they have to do is accept the Lord and ask him in their heart. And sometimes we're guilty of that, of pushing it too much. But he knew he needed to do that, but he said he couldn't do it at that time. Sometimes God needs to put more wedges in there. Sometimes man has to get down to the bottom of the barrel before he can see daylight. And if you're in the bottom of the barrel and you see daylight, that means you're on your back looking up. So sometimes you have to be careful of that. The danger of not accepting the Lord when the Spirit is tugging at your heart is we're not guaranteed tomorrow. That's something we live very dangerously with postponing accepting the Lord. We're not guaranteed for tomorrow what can happen. When his Spirit is calling, he's calling today. When you hear it, he's calling today. Across the world today, there are many messages being brought explaining the gospel of Christ, calling people to repentance. A lot are going to hear it, and a lot are going to reject it. Some will accept it, but there's some, it's just a sobering thought. Some are going to hear the message clear today, and they're going to be gone in eternity tomorrow without ever making a decision. And when you stop and think about that, it's really sobering. Eternity, a life without Christ. God doesn't hit us over the head with a stick. He can change anybody on his own timing. As the Spirit moves, some of the examples in the Bible that you read about, you think of the life of Paul, being a persecutor of Christians to a preacher. If you knew I was out there persecuting Christians, you're a Christian, and you knew I was putting Christians to death, and I came here to speak today as a converted believer, I wonder how many would come to listen. You had a little bit of question mark going on. And God uses the things of this world, not of common sense, but he'll take the unordinary to make the extraordinary. So he will call us. By his calling, he's not screaming at us. Sometimes there's a sweet call. Sometimes you hear a whisper, and it allures you. He does not force to draw you. The freedom of the will is not taken away, but the stubbornness of it is conquered. It's a holy call. The God whom we worship is holy. And what he has for us for being holy, took the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross for our sins to be wiped away. For God has not called us, in 1 Thessalonians 4:7, to uncleanness, but unto holiness. Let's take our Bibles for a minute here. Go back to Matthew. Matthew 22. through 14. This here is talking about the rejection of the nation Jerusalem, that Christ came for them, he died for them, and his own people rejected him. But it's talking about a kingdom in heaven, a king that sent out for his servants to invite everybody in. So verse 1 through 14, and Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parable, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. And he sent forth a servant to call them that were invited to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth another servant, saying, tell them which are invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto marriage. But they made light of it, and they went their way, one out to the farm, another to the merchandise. And the remnant took the servants, and they entreated, and he took his servants, and he treated them spitefully. And what did they do to his servants that went out to invite him in? They slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they could found, that they could have found, both bad and good. The wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou into hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him and hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into the outer darkness. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. And this here is a parable of what Christianity is all about. You have God, our King, inviting us for eternal life through his Son. His own people rejected him. So he takes it to everybody else, opens it to the Gentiles to bring salvation. Now here you can see that they went out into every highway of life to gather as many as they could. And an interesting note here is both bad and good. The wedding was furnished with guests. There's a second thing we should take out of this passage here, that when the king said to his servant, he saw a stranger within their midst, and what was so different about him? They all had wedding garments on except him. Salvation. He came in, he wasn't clothed with a wedding garment that was provided by the king. If you notice, these people were invited. They wanted them to come right away and not, you know, they weren't making the excuses, we got to go home and get dressed and all this. The king was going to provide all the garments for them. The garments for us to be white as snow was the blood of Christ on our life, to take the sins out of our life. Holiness. God is holy. There are going to be a lot at the judgment seat, at the great white throne judgment, pleading their case of all the good that they have done in life. And they're going to be disappointed because God is going to say, I never knew you. Was it God's fault that they perish? When you look at the salvation plan, what a new birth contains. When Nicodemus asked Christ, how can a man be born again? And what did Christ answer him? He said, verily, verily, say unto you, except ye be born of water and the Spirit, ye cannot enter the kingdom of God. That is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And how do you describe the Spirit? The Spirit is the wind that bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound of it, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And we all know probably our favorite verse in the Bible, John 3:16, that he loved us so much that he gave his only Son to die on the cross for our sins. God is constantly calling mankind to his salvation. And he wants us to be holy. It's also a high calling. You press in Philippians 3:14, you press toward the mark of the high price of the high calling. He doesn't want us to just be called into his service for failure. He wants us to succeed. But we have to be careful there when we hear the word succeed. Okay, I'm just going to do anything I want, and it's just all going to work out, right? When he does the bidding for us, the calling, he wants us to be totally at his command, submission to him, to love him enough that no matter what happens, we will let him have control of our life and that he can move us the way he sees fit. In studying for this message here, I was studying some commentaries on the internet about this, and it's really amazing how much information can be on one verse and what it deals with. It also had on there a lot of testimonies of the hardships that people go through. You think we have this, there's a gospel out there, if you accept the Lord, everything's going to work to your favor. And we know if Christ suffered, we're also going to suffer. We're going to experience the same things in life. Death of a friend, betrayal, turning away from you that you thought, one that loved you. One of the testimonials in there was talking about a man that lost his son. And going through his loss at the service, he just cried out to the preacher. He said, Where's your God? Why would he let this happen to my son? Where is he?" And the pastor, in a soft voice, just said he's at the same place when his son died. People were looking for a king, a worldly king, to come and save them. And he came as a babe in a manger. And he lived his life perfect. And he had to die on the cross to take on the whole sins of the world. So God was at the same place for the loss of this man's son as he was for his own son. There was a purpose taking place, a plan, eternal plan to bring mankind to him. When you look at our calling, should honor God for his praise and his glory. A man before conversion continually reflects this honor upon God. And when he comes to accept the Lord as his personal Savior, he wants to be obedient to his will and show the love. His love should increase all the more. As God makes heaven fit for us, he's also going to make us fit for heaven. He wants us in complete submission to his will, that no matter what happens, he can move us. He can take the events of our life and have his will come together to them that love the Lord. Again, this verse is not dealing with a lost person. It's dealing with a person that already accepted the Lord. And just to keep that in mind. In our calling, there's a threefold change that comes about. There's a change wrought in the understanding. There was ignorance before. There was darkness. Where I was once blind, I can now see. And there's a change in our will. The will that used to oppose God now embraces him. Our will that was iron is now melded to the what he wants to make us an instrument of what he likes. There's a change in our conduct. Those that are called of God walk directly contrary to what we did before. A lot of times people say, I don't remember the time or place if I had ever accepted the Lord. You can always tell. There are signs for us. If there's a change in our conduct, things that we used to do before, we no longer desire to do them. It's a new birth. And a new birth means to be repentant and to turn around from where we were. And if we're called, we are called out of this world. And he that is called of God minds the things of heavenly aspects of the world and not of this world itself. And a lot of times we get too caught up, and I'm guilty of this. You look around at the things that life has to offer, and you look at how can I fit this into my life to make it look like a Christian, and instead of going after what God has for us. In Psalm 145, verses 1 and 2, the Lord says, "I will extol thee, my God, O King. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise your name forever." That's one of the purposes. He wants us to come to him with fellowship, that we can praise him. A lot of times we think with Christianity, we're the gloom and doom, and there can never ever be anything be merry or happy. We should pray to the Lord with thanksgiving to the Lord for his salvation. And when the prodigal son came to his senses and asked for forgiveness, what did they do for him? His father gave him a feast to be merry that his son that was lost has come home. So Christ does like us to be rejoicing in him. We are to be cheerful. Cheerfulness is a fragrance, like a perfume. It will draw you. You can have perfumes out there that will draw you or repel you. Bug spray will repel you, right? If you're going on a date, the married man in here, when you went on a date, you didn't use bug spray, did you? Yeah, it's something to draw them. Cheerfulness, it's almost like a perfume to draw others to Christ. We are supposed to walk courteously. The spirit of the gospel is full of meekness and candor. To be courteous in 1 Peter 3:8. A lot of times we're not of ourselves. We got to let our wisdom behind and be courteous and do really, really focus in on what would God do in this situation? What would Christ do? So we're called in many different ways to see the conviction of the Holy Spirit on our lives. We see many avenues where he can convict us, places. It's not all in church. It's in the workplace. It's in the family home. It can be anywhere. Just driving with a friend, things could come up on the radio, and you talk about the events of the day, and you can use that to witness to people. Our purpose for God's salvation, according to his goodwill, when he saves us, is his purpose for us is for our own good and his glory. Now, when a person is going through suffering, or they have a tragedy happen in their life, and you say, how can I see praise God in an event like this, especially when it really hits close to home, when you have a family member that might have been taken away all of a sudden, a loss of a job, the storms that just came past here this past week, if people lost everything that they owned in their entire life, how can you tell me that that's God's purpose for us to go through this? I was living a good life before. I was obeying everything that he was telling me to do. And that's our humanness that comes out of that. We're trying to understand what he has for our lives. We were just praying this morning for the ones in New Jersey, New York that are going through the suffering right now. Maybe a lot of churches that are helping people out today with the physical needs can still be planting the seeds of the spiritual needs that we have for mankind. That without God, we are doomed. So he had saved us according that are called and according to their works, but according to his own purpose and grace in 1 Timothy 1:9. So the purpose for God in our lives is for our good and his glory. Adversity is a healing medicine. Sometimes it's hard to take it as when things happen to us, we look at it as a deadly poison, that it's there to harm us instead of be working in us. A man who gets health by being sick . He gets rich by his losses. A man will rise when he falls. A man, when he is born again, lives by dying to himself. And a man will be full when being empty. So you look at what God's doing in your life today. Can you claim this today, that we know that all things work together for us, for good to them that love the God, to love God, and to them that are called according to his purpose? If you haven't been called today and you heard the salvation plan many times, I just ask that you would just really, really consider, we are not guaranteed for tomorrow. We may never get that chance. There are no second chances after death. It's a issue that needs to be settled while we're alive. Again, we live so dangerously just one breath away from eternity's sight. Even as believers, are we doing what we need to be doing for God in our own life? Are we witnessing to people as he prompts us to go, as people are presented in front of us? Situations that come out that we can use as opportunities to speak on his behalf. So have you been called today? Do you have the love of God in your life? And do you have a purpose? The suffering that goes on in the world today, we can look at the events that are happening in the world and we try to wish things would be better, on all fronts. It could be on the political side, it could be on our work side, our jobs, it could be on our housing, it could be on everything. Are we going to be submissive enough to let God have his purpose take place in our life that he can fulfill his plan for us? There's a lost world where people need to see that there is a God that will care for them. There's a plan for salvation. He wants us to present that plan. If we're here today, we have Christ in our heart, that's what he wants for us. He wants us to spread it. He wants us to be that tool for us to he wants us to make that tool for salvation to come about for everybody. When you hear the elect predestination, everybody gets caught up in these words and thinking, well, how do I know that I'm one of the called? How do I know I was the predestined one, to become a... Again, the will of God is for every man to come to a saving knowledge through his son, Jesus Christ. And without that, that's his purpose for us. And to thank him for eternity for the plan that he has given to us. Our world is not here. Our home is not here. Sometimes we live our life like it is. And we become non-essential in accomplishing God's will, his purpose. So with that, just want to close today. If you're here and you never accepted the Lord as your personal Savior, just take time to sit down with somebody today. Go through the Romans Road, the book of John. Very clear on the salvation, what God has provided for us. If you're here and you did accept the Lord and the purpose in your life hasn't been what it should be to accomplish his will, that he does not have full control, take care of that issue today. Anything that needs to be cited in your life as we sing this last song to get a closer walk with thee in number 380. We are weak and he is strong. Closer walk with Jesus. Hymn number 380. Any issues in your life, just take care of it there at your seat, or if you want to talk with somebody, we'll have somebody at the back. But I will encourage everybody. I was amazed. You think Mike was going to talk about the good of God has that he has for us and the love that he has for us, working together. And you think, well, the verse is just short. But when you start digging into it, it's really amazing how deep it really goes. And that's a little bit of how the gospel is. Once you start digging into it and you start understanding and you're enlightened, you can understand the scripture now because the Holy Spirit is in you, can reveal the truth to you. It just keeps going deeper and deeper and deeper. And that's the love of God for us. So if you will, you can stand with me, and we'll sing number 384 a close, and any decisions that need to be made, just...